Welcome to Local Drag. It's a podcast about local drag queens and their thoughts and opinions on RuPaul's Drag Race and the world of drag. My name is Laveau Contraire, and I'm the Voodoo Queen of New Orleans, here to put you all under my spell. Tune in each week as I interview one of my favorite squirrel friends and recap the latest episode of RuPaul's Drag Race and give our unfiltered opinion on the queens of season 13 and Drag Race UK.
Let's go ahead and get started. Are you ready?
La 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 la. Yep, let's do it.
I am here this week with the European jet setter and winner of Tumblr's Drag Race All-Stars Cycle 2. It's Antonina Nutshell.
Oh my God, it's me.
Hello, how are you?
Hello, sexy lady. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited to have you. I had Sally on the first episode, and I'm so happy that I was able to get another UK sister, especially a TDR sister, to come and be on the viewing party and the podcast. So thank you.
Well, it's an honor. It's an honor.
Yes. I mean, it's an honor for me because you stayed up till 2 a.m. just so that you could watch it with us. And we were so appreciative.
Oh, it was so much fun. I was so dizzy the next day.
I bet you were, but it is so much fun to watch Drag Race with like a bunch of other queer people from around the world and just kind of kiki and chat about the episode. It kind of puts me back in the bar a little bit.
Yeah, to be fair, like most of the comments make me laugh more than the actual show, so.
Oh, yes, the chat is popping. That is where the comedy is at.
Nothing better than gays overreacting to stuff.
Oh, yes. I mean, what else is there to do? This is our sports, okay?
Sports never matter.
Yes, so we met on TDR Cycle 7. How was that?
Oh my God, it was a dream come true to be cast.
So for those of you who don't know or didn't listen to the episode with Sally where we talked about this, TDR, online competition, it's just like RuPaul's Drag Race except baby queens. They send in a runway, some pictures, and a description, and then some random people from around the world critique them and tell one of them to go home to where they already are, their house. And it was like geared towards baby queens with the idea of helping them get better. So that was interesting, but
it worked in some cases.
It worked in some cases. There, I won't say that I didn't learn things. I learned a lot, especially from just doing that much drag in that short of amount of time. But it was stressful. Money was spent.
Oh, so many runs around thrift shops, running around to get, oh, I need a wig. How am I going to afford to buy a new wig for this week?
Oh, my God. And then you try to style the one that you have, and they're like, is this the same wig?
You're wearing the same shoes as last week. Like, I've been doing drag for 2 months. Come on.
Okay, like, come on. But it was really helpful. There was a lot of good, you know, critique and feedback. Like, I learned how to do my first cut crease because of TDR, because they were like, what is this eye makeup, girl? So, yeah, it was very fun. And we
did stuff.
We had a moment. There was a Pokemon challenge.
This again.
And I mean, we have to talk about it. We were in the bottom two, and we had to lipstick against each other. It was not great.
Which is your fault, by the way, because you were put in the bottom two because you were late to submit.
Oh my God. Yeah, well,
if it weren't for you, it would have been me and Tony in the bottom, and I might have survived. Who knows?
Oh, no, but then we wouldn't have had our Tony Award top four. That was truly a Cinderella moment. Spot. I mean, that's debatable. It's highly debated amongst the community.
To this day, people still fight about this.
I love it. I love it. But that just goes to show you that this is our sports, you know? And you were in
the Shout out to Renee Ward, love her.
We do love us some Tony Award MVP. So you were originally from Sweden, and then I recently found out that you moved to the UK. How was that?
That's true. Oh my God. Do you have like a research department or something?
I'm just really good at internet stalking. So, you know, I searched you up and I found out all of your dirty secrets.
Oh crap. I'm hanging up.
So how is the UK? Like, is it different drag-wise? I know that moving just a city over here can give you a very drastic change in drag, but how is it Sweden versus UK?
It's so much better here. So much Ooh. Bigger, so much more gay bars. In Sweden, we don't have a gay nightlife, really. We have gay bars in the big cities. But mostly gays just go to normal bars and clubs in Sweden.
Oh, that doesn't sound fun.
I know. So, like, I moved from the north of Sweden to the south of Sweden. And in the north of Sweden, they had no gay bars. And to south of Sweden, where it was, like, one gay bar in my city.
Oh, wow.
So, like, I guess I'll have to go there. And I did. But here in the UK, you can go to a small little, like, tiny village in nowhere, and you're like, oh, there's a gay bar, and you can go in and have a good time.
Wow, that's amazing. I just fascinated that there can be just one, you know. I mean, it's kind of like the South here. I am from a city that has two, maybe, and I moved to New Orleans, and there are maybe like twice as many, maybe three times as many, but not much more than that. There are a lot more, but it just goes to show you that just a city over or maybe a country over can be completely vastly different gay scenes.
Well, the whole continent of Europe is the size of America, isn't it? Pretty much. So.
Right. So yeah, it's so interesting, the parallels and the differences, but
yeah.
But you did move to the UK for the gay nightlife or the gay scene in general. And would you say you found it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I started touring here in 2018 when I was still living in Sweden, doing tours all over the UK, performing.
Nice. And I just
fell in love with it and like, might as well just move.
Yes, I love it. Make that leap. Mm-hmm. Did you win TDR All-Stars while you were like touring, or was that
before? No, that was before.
Okay.
God, when was that? 2016, I believe.
Oh my gosh, was it that long ago?
I know, 5 years ago.
Oh, that doesn't seem like that long ago. Wow.
I've come a long way since TDR's.
Haven't we all? Thank goodness. Don't go look it up. It's still on the internet somewhere, but it was bad, y'all. But this challenge kind of took me there, because in this episode, the queens have to make outfits out of unconventional materials, which was our first challenge ever on TDR.
I remember that being so much fun, though. Like, oh, I feel so creative. I'm a proper queen who can do stuff. And
then I glued
candy to a pizza box.
Yeah. Was there like trash bags in there? Or how was it painted black? What was that?
Oh, that was like tape, like black duct tape or something.
Electrical tape. Like, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I just.
Yeah, I used like chicken bones and like leaves from outside. It was very earthy. But we weren't on Drag Race UK. We were just on TDR. So it was okay that our outfits were trash. And
I literally chose my drag name to be in English because I wanted to audition for TDR.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's amazing. I started drag for TDR as well, kind of like, oh, I think I can do this. Let's try on some drag.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to have a pun name, the same pun name, but in Swedish. But then I started following TDR. I was like, no, I'll translate it to English so they can get me if I get on.
And it worked. It worked perfectly.
Fifth place in Miss Congeniality and then All-Stars winner, so...
Yes, that's a good track record. So speaking of TDR and Drag Race UK, who's your favorite Drag Race UK queen?
Ooh, in season two or in general?
In general.
Ooh. Well, in season one, I actually had met a few of them and not really worked with them, but like been to their shows and met them backstage and that.
Nice.
I live in Liverpool, so I met the Vivian many times, and she was always coming into my bar when I was DJing and saying hello and having a shot with us and everything.
That's cute.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I met Divina De Campo at a show and went to a very wild after party with her.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, she wasn't wild, but I was.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. She was just like a lady. Yeah. She was still in her drag face, but she had switched to her boy clothes and just sitting in a corner and being chill. Nice. And I was like, nice. I want the dick. I'm out.
So wait, who's the favorite then?
Oh, God. I do love Divina De Campo.
Yes. I thought she could have won. I really did.
Absolutely, she could have. I think there was a really good top two in season one. And of course, I was rooting for the Vivian because she was our hometown girl.
Yeah, of course.
I thought they were both great.
Absolutely. I thought so too. And what's your favorite drag
queen? Finale too.
Wait, what?
And Bagga was in the finale too.
Oh, yeah, she was there. she was just happy to be there, honestly. But some people do get to the top on personality alone. So, shout out to Bagga. Not that she didn't do a great job in the show. She did do a great job, too.
You're talking about Tony again.
No, I know that's your favorite TDR queen. You don't even have to tell me. She's everyone's favorite.
Oh, God, I love her so much.
But speaking of Drag Race moments, what was your favorite Drag Race lip sync? It could be any franchise.
Oh, Jesus. Actually... If I have to pick one, the one that actually made me cry most recently was from Drag Race Canada, Priyanka versus Kiara to I Drove All Night by Celine Dion.
Yes!
That lip sync, I watched it so many times when it was just like, had just aired, and I cried every time because I was so... It's like, I love drag so much. And when I watch that lip sync, I'm just like, oh, drag. Fuck, I love drag.
I love it, too. I had that feeling, you're going to laugh, during the Eurovision Song Contest, because it was just, the United Kingdom dolls were all just so in the moment and living their, like, Drag Race dream, and it was just so good, and I was like, this is what I love about drag. Like, right here,
every moment where you just say to yourself, God, I love drag, then you know it's a good Drag Race moment.
Yes And that is the magic that we are trying to follow. Okay, so we're gonna follow the magic right into this episode, and sadly, ooh, one of the queen's dreams were crushed.
Oh, but she gave us one of the funniest exits in a long time.
Absolutely. I think that she will go down as one of the funniest queens on this show, just strictly based on her confessionals.
Absolutely. And oh, and her runway voiceovers.
Yeah, of course we're talking about Tia Coffee, if you haven't guessed.
Oh, but Rue ordered her coffee to go.
Yeah, she was not doing so well in the runway department, and they were not having it. So, like, you don't do well in the challenge, you don't do well in the runway, you gotta go at this point. And she did. She did a great job. She kept us laughing in the confessionals, like I said, but it was her time to go.
It was.
Yeah, I mean, especially against Lawrence.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't much suspense there, was it, really?
Right, they're not going to let that queen go. So they get back in the workroom and they're like, who could be next? And Ahura, of course, is like, probably you, sister. And I just love how the UK girls are not holding their tongues.
I know, it's Ahura's coming for Sister over and over again in this episode.
Repeatedly, like subliminally, overtly, non-discreetly, like all of it.
Tiger print for a prehistoric runway. How predictable.
Right. Oh, wow. 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 And I mean, she's not wrong, but she's not right either. And then Sister says, Ellie, you know, you've been coasting, girl. And I was like, really? So they're coming for Ellie as well. And I think Ellie is reaching her breaking point.
I know you're shit, but I want you to know that you're shit as well. I want you to know.
To know that I know that you're shit.
I cannot sleep at night if I don't know that you know yourself that you're shit.
I mean, it's very intense in this top five, and they really do say it at the end that if you don't have a badge, why are you here? And Sister and Ellie, you don't have a badge. So what's gonna happen when one of y'all goes home, because y'all are next? And then Sister says, I think they're still sleeping on me, and I'm gonna wake them up. She said, nope, it's a snooze fest for me, but it's a new day in the workroom. And Bimini just won the snatch game. What did you think about Bimini's snatch game?
Oh, Bimini. Oh, I absolutely adored it. I am familiar with Katie Price, but not really from seeing her, mostly reading about her. Like, even back in Sweden, she made like headlines when she did stuff. So I'm very familiar with her persona, but not really with her voice. But I just thought it was hilarious. I thought she had so many one-liners and so quotable.
Yeah, it was really one of those performances where you didn't really need to know the character. It was going to be funny no matter what, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Really, so, that kind of Ben de la Cremes, Maggie Smith kind of quotability.
Yes, exactly. Because like, all I knew of Maggie Smith was that she was in Harry Potter.
Yeah, pretty much the same here. But with Bimini's, you had the horse cheating on me. You had the nipples or the eyes or the face. You had those kind of lines that will be remembered and quoted in the future.
Absolutely. Instantly iconic. So she deserved it. And she wants to keep the wins coming. And Ahura comes for Sister yet again and says, Sister, who are you going to copy this week? And Sister's like, I would be a fool to let this get to me. And I'm like, good attitude, good attitude. Oh. But also, who are you going to copy this week? But this week, it is the reading challenge. So Ahura hopefully hasn't used all of her material because the library is open. What do you think about the reading challenge?
Oh, it's always interesting to see. Like, you always, you never know what's going to happen, because some years it's just total garbage, and some years it's just laugh after laugh after laugh.
Right. But
Sorry. No, I was just going to ask if you remember our reading challenge.
Oh, gosh. Yes. Our reading challenge was interesting. I thought it was rigged.
I don't remember who won.
Melee won.
Melee won?
Yes! It was a scandal. Because I was like, there are so many good reads. But whatever, we're not going to live in the past. We're going to live in the now, darling. We are both winners, okay? We don't need to look back. We look at our crowns.
I'm just going to say, my little brother still quotes your read of me to me. 6 years later.
Oh my god, wait, what was it?
You read every single contestant, everyone who's been eliminated, all the judges and their mothers, and then you just like, thank you, bye. Oh, and Anthony in a nutshell. I almost forgot about you, just like everyone else.
That is a classic one. I know that one's been done on Drag Race before, but it's just like, you know, you pick someone and you're like, yep, I'm going to save them for last and make them the button on the end of the entire thing. And I felt like I should have won for that.
You should have. 6 years later, my little brother goes, remember when that queen read you with that?
Oh my gosh. Well,
thank you, David.
Wow. Thank you, David. Glad you liked the material. but on this reading challenge, the girls are wearing 3D glasses.
What is going on?
You know what this gives me? This gives me, we couldn't get Warby Parker. We couldn't get a glasses sponsor. We couldn't even get Sunglasses Hut. Okay. But what we're going to do is slap the girls in some glasses, and I'm not bringing mine from home.
This is like up there with when in season 5 when they were on that tour bus waving to green screen celebrities, and or in that season when there was like a RuPaul Madame Tussauds like wax figure. It's just like, what is going on? What does this have to do with anything?
It has nothing to do with anything. It's ridiculous, but sometimes that's the best part of the show.
True that. You know,
the reads were flowing. It was great. So we started with Sister. She was good. She
was.
Starts out with a fat joke for Lawrence, original, but she said, Bimini is so stupid. When she heard they were putting chips in people, she asked for a side of vegan mayo.
And she did a really good Bimini impersonation, which
right? That just sent it over the top. It was already funny, but that made it even better.
Yes.
Then we get to Ellie Diamond, and she was just like, okay, like, I don't know. Ellie never like goes all the way for me, but
no, she had this really long read about Lawrence being like Lady Bonnie because she doesn't have a personality.
And I was like, both of those queens have huge personalities. What are you talking about?
Doesn't make sense. Yeah. Like, if you're going to read queens like that, you read them for having an annoying personality, maybe, but not having a personality.
Or tell her to get a new one or something like that.
Yeah.
But speaking of Lawrence, she also comes for Ellie's wits and says that Ellie is so stupid, she studied for her COVID test. Oh, I thought it was so good because it was timely. And it was like, you know, really good. It just fit.
But that was her one good joke, wasn't it?
Wait, what?
That was her one good joke.
Well, I like the other one, too, that we saw. We only saw two of them, but the second one was, Ahura, I heard you've been doing some soul searching. I hope you find one. I thought that was great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was okay.
Then we get to Taste, who tells Ellie that she should change her name from Diamond to Zirconia, and then Ellie says, I'm too stupid to understand that one. So,
Same, Ellie.
I mean, I thought it was funny. You know, she calls Lawrence the number one reason to stay away from Glasgow. That was okay. A softball, if you will. Bimini is really showing up and showing, like, that she's pretty funny. She says that she hopes she would love to hold. She says that she loves Ahura and would love to give her a big squeeze, but she's worried that she'll pop and there'll be filler everywhere. Speaking of filler, Ellie, sister, need help packing? So good.
I love it when you combine a read with several queens.
I mean, that's just like comedy gold. But the winner...
Transitions, darling. Transitions.
The winner is Sister.
Yeah. After watching it again, I felt like, yeah, I can understand it. Maybe the fat joke about Lawrence wasn't hilarious, but her impersonation of Bimini was fun.
Yeah, it was.
And telling Taste to go jump into Thames was quite fun as well.
Yeah, but she wins 15 extra seconds at the trash heap because for the main challenge, they have to make outfits worthy of lockdown superheroes out of unconventional materials. And I mean, Sister really just grabs everything. She says, I'm going to use the 15 seconds to take every single piece of fabric that I can find.
And who wouldn't?
I know. I mean, it's a great tactic, but I feel like she might have benefited from looking at what was there and at least picking like a theme.
No, who needs a theme when you can have color and fun?
And chaos. So,
it's like a Horace confessional shirt. It's just a lot of fun.
It is. Oh, and is it? It's absolute carnage. The queens are throwing things. I feel bad for the PA who has to clean this up after they're done. Because
I never thought of that in my life.
It's so much. Like, there's sponges everywhere.
Oh, stuff, stuff, stuff.
But they end up with their, you know, winnings in their stations. And it's a lot of non-stretch fabric and non-fabric, just like not even fabric. Ahura tries to make her way over to Sister like a sneaky snake and barter for some material. I love this moment. I love it because Sister sees it for what it is immediately. And she's like, usually we start with compliments.
That Ahura moment, hiding behind the mannequins, so silly, so funny.
Right, it was very campy.
Yeah, it's like that from season one, that picture of Baga when she's like looking at something like, oh, it's about to go down.
Yes, exactly. We love that. We love the gifable moments, and that was definitely a gifable moment.
Yes.
So she says, we start with compliments, and she can't even come up with one. She's like, when you ripped me off, you came close. Like, wow.
God. Ahura is like proper one of those queens you can't stand in the beginning, and then you warm up to her and then you love her.
Oh yeah, I've definitely started to love Ahura.
Yes. In the beginning you're like, oh, she's one of those mean gays that just gives you a dirty look in a gay bar and like, ugh.
Yes.
But then you like get to know her and you find yourself rooting for her for some reason.
Yes, even though she is very much that bitchy gay.
Oh yeah.
But she asks Sister for a few things and Sister says, absolutely not. So then she says, what do you want from me? And she says, I want you to leave my station. I love it.
Sister from Liverpool, obviously.
Mm-hmm. So she's going for the Garden of Eden.
Hmm? Well, that's a theme.
I mean, it's a theme. I was just thinking maybe she should start with like a tree instead of going for the whole garden.
Yeah, It can be edited. We'll get there when we get to the runway.
Okay,
but
okay, we'll get there. I would love to see how we edit this. So Bimini was left with nothing. So she's just kind of like walking around, talking to the other girls. It's very like,
Oh, I was getting so worried for Bimini.
I know, I was like,
no, Bimini has lip synced before. She lip synced in the first episode. So if she's in the bottom, there's that stacked against her.
I hope not. I mean, it's so hard to say because are they judging them based on their track record or are they judging them based on the moment, you know?
Oh, of course, yeah. But that always plays a little role, doesn't it? If someone's lip-synced three or four times,
oh, yeah,
they most certainly will go home.
Yes, exactly. So we'll see how it fares because what she has with the palm leaves and the like toilet paper tissues, it was not looking cute. But
that could have even been in the bottom two in TDR.
Oh, absolutely. So then we get a special guest. Raven comes in looking tan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. We were freaking out in the viewing party. Like, somebody said, why is Raven's makeup darker than Rue's? And I was just like, my mind says that they either have to go to the tanning bed so often or use self-tanner and then they're just like covered in like ink all day, basically.
Yeah. Watch, like looking at old pictures of Raven out of drag and looking at this, it's like, how can this be the same skin?
Oh, right. Well, I mean, either a lot of makeup or a lot of tanning.
Yeah.
Because, wow, she looks like a Kardashian. And they're not, and they're white
too. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're Armenian, yes, are they?
They are Armenian. But, like, the before and after pictures of them, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
You look like a whole so it's like human.
Half Middle Eastern, but also half white kind of thing.
Right, basically. So, anyway, Raven aside, she is there to walk around because she is the only other drag queen on set who they can get that is already COVID tested because she has to be. So, so she comes in and she tells the queens what's what. Rue tells Ellie that yeah. she better win a repeater match. And Ellie says, that's on you, chick. if you think I should win a repeater match, give it to me.
I love that how she calls out RuPaul again after saying, well, why don't you say my name with a Scottish accent? Right. And then she comes for her again this week.
She's really got the nerve. She's showing that she has it.
Mm-hmm.
It do take nerve. So, Ahura's planning on giving crazy avant-garde. She says that she didn't go to fashion school not to win this. What do you think about Ahura's aspirations?
Well, if I had the skills, I would also go for something avant-garde yeah. instead of a simple dress right. made of whatever wrapping paper I did. So yeah, of course I would go for it if I actually had the construction skills for it.
Right. I love that she's like getting to flex her skills because I don't think the last time she was in a design challenge, I don't think that was like the best that she could do. It seemed pretty like simple.
Yeah, that looked like something someone who can sew can make.
Yeah.
Well, she should have looked like something a designer would
okay,
make.
You went to fashion school, honey. Okay, show us the line. Show us what's coming down the runway for Ahura. So, I think she got to do that this time.
Yes, good for her.
So, next, we have Bimini, who she has this funny moment with Raven where she asks her what filter she's wearing.
Oh, yeah.
She truly does look like an Instagram filter. But Bimini is stressing me out because she is just sitting there with nothing.
It's, oh, I'm just like picking my hair, what is she going to do?
What is she going to do? Because we need her. She's so entertaining and beautiful.
Oh, she's everything.
Then we get to Sister, who learns about color correction. And this is another reason.
Finally.
This is, right? This is another reason I'm super grateful for TDR, because that's where I learned about color correction as well.
Yeah, I think Sister had never heard of that before.
That's mind-blowing to me. That would be, like, you know, something you could probably Google. Like, there's got to be a Reddit or something. I don't know. Maybe not. But there's definitely a YouTube video.
And I'm sure she had to pretend like she thought it was great advice.
I mean, maybe she did, but it just seemed like, I don't know, yikes. Like, she'd be having full-on beards sometimes. Yeah, which is fine.
What is Raven?
If that's what you're going
for. What is Raven supposed to say? Get new skin.
Yeah. I mean, she could get it lasered off, but that costs money. But she chose teeth, okay? She chose teeth over laser hair removal.
I would say drink more water. Bye.
So, Tace is using these little scrubby pads and giving us like a Monet mm-hmm. exchange, bag of chips, lemon sort of scrubby moment. What do you think?
Oh, I was nervous as well, watching her in the workroom.
Yeah, like, she cut herself, she's, like, pulling all of these apart, and I'm like, how is this gonna come? Like, this is gonna be either really sickening or really bad.
Her hands look like Sister's chin.
Ah! Oh my god. You're not wrong. But she says that beauty is pain, and she soldiers on. Then they get to Lawrence, and Lawrence is nervous, but they talk about makeup, and you can kind of tell that what Raven is talking about is like a private conversation that she had with Rue while they were getting ready. And I feel like they totally said the like painting the depression on thing and just like led Lawrence to that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But it was a fun little moment to give Lawrence some advice on the makeup, because it definitely shows in the runway.
Yeah, she actually took the advice, and I hadn't really thought about it before, but when they showed the close-ups, I'm like, oh yeah, that is something she could change and try something different with.
Right, it makes a difference. So I love that. But that's about it for the Raven talk. Like, you know, she's able to talk about makeup, she's able to talk about style, but really she's there to say, hey, you, don't do that. You're doing great. You, change your makeup.
So this is 2 out of 2 seasons of Drag Race UK with Raven as a guest.
I mean, she's there. Like, she's on set. So I get that, but also they could invite any of the UK girls on a normal season. This season, probably not because of COVID, but...
Oh, yeah. Who would they choose? Blue Hydrangea?
I would love to see Blue come back. I think Blue's so talented.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I could see that.
And she seems like a sweet
girl. I could also see Bagga or the Vivian. They love putting them, you know, in stuff.
Yeah, I'd choose the Vivian for makeup advice.
Oh, yes. But Bagga maybe for, like, you know, comedy advice or something.
Yeah. I wish they could use more of the UK queens. But as you say, this season, it's not going to work.
Not with the COVID this time. But it's a new day in the workroom. And Ahura says she is not leaving without winning a design challenge. Okay?
I can't wait to see how this turns out.
I hope so, because I really want to see it for her. Like, she is winning us over with this personality, and let's see if she can, like, really bring the drag, was what I was thinking.
Let me find... Because her best performance so far was as an Essex girl in the morning show.
Right, right. So that's not really giving us fashion, darling.
No.
So we find out that Lawrence has been sewing since she was 7, and they talk about growing up queer. And, you know, Lawrence used their humor to, like, deflect from the bullying. And I feel like I can totally relate to that a little bit.
Absolutely. Me too.
I mean, I feel like it's kind of a drag thing as well, that we, like, become... humorous based on, or not based on, but like in a kind of response to the hardships that we had to face.
Yeah, that's our reaction.
Yeah. And, you know, if it makes me funnier in the end, then I'll take it. No.
Absolutely.
The drama.
Call me an ugly faggot and I'll cash in on that later.
Right. If only we had that sort of foresight in the moment. I think Lawrence might have figured it out, though, because apparently they went from, you know, making a joke during an altercation, getting a Bible thrown at them, and ending up being, like, the funniest person in school a few weeks later. So I thought that was interesting because, you know, it really, using that humor really, like, elevated their, like, social status or whatever. And isn't that what this whole thing is, basically?
Exactly. And like we talked about on the viewing party, here comes another bullying, crying segment. But like I said then, this will be someone's first season of Drag Race ever watching this and recognizing their own story being talked about on television for the first time. So I think it's worth it.
Yes, and I really appreciate that perspective, because I was thinking of it like, oh gosh, another sob story, here we go. But it's true that I started watching Drag Race at, you know, the season with Willem on it, and that really, like, changed my world of drag. Imagine if they didn't have the sob stories there. You know, that sort of thing. So somebody is going to come into the franchise right here on this season, and seeing that story be told might actually change something for them, to show that even though you might be being bullied in school, you can still be a really cool adult and be a cross-dresser and maybe win $100,000.
But don't start drag, because we don't need more competition.
Okay, we don't need more drag queens. Okay, find a different way. All right. Oh my God, that's so funny. So then we get to the runway, and I am so excited. Aren't you?
Oh, I can't believe I'm here, like, talking about a fashion episode, like me judging fashion. It's like Bimini judging a hot dog eating contest or something.
I don't know. I feel like she would be really good at telling them that she's vegan. So Rue comes out in this beautiful green gown with the little updo.
I love green in drag.
Right? And I'm like, they could have used this moment to squash the whole, like, green is horrible, Michelle hates green narrative.
I know.
But they would never.
I think green is one of the best drag colors because it's one of those colors that you don't see every day people wearing. So when you wear it, it's so impactful.
Yes. And I mean, the only time it's not is when you're a green screen queen like myself. Then you might need to make it blue. But speaking of looks, we have the runway. And we are going to talk about all of these looks right after this break. And we're back. And the runway theme is Lockdown Super Sheroes. So, first up, we have Taste, and they come out in these cheesy, you know, out of drag looks with these cheesy voiceovers and do a little spin. And then
there's very 60s, 70s superhero.
Yes, it was very, very that. But I didn't hate it.
No, I didn't hate it either. I thought it was fun. It's that's kind of silly drag race thing that we all love. Like the 3D glasses that no one gets but still thinks is fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So first up on the runway is Taze. She's Exfoliana Bolt and she's wearing her Scourer outfit. What did you think about this?
I did enjoy it the first time I saw it. Seeing it now again, I still think it's all right, but I'm not as excited as I was the first time.
That's fair, yeah.
The proportions are a little weird. I wish the sleeve things were bigger and the thing around her body was tighter.
Well, she only had so many to work with, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I would have taken a little bit off the middle and put it on the arms, I think.
Yeah, I think it's just like barely covering the corset. I saw a picture of it before I saw the actual runway and I was like, oh, this is sickening. And then I saw it on the runway and I was like, oh, not what I thought.
Yes. And the crotch thing is just really pointing out that this is not my real body. This is just padding and pantyhose.
Yeah. And then we get Lawrence of Chania.
Ooh.
What did you think about her?
I like it, kind of. I like the colors together. I think that's fun and vibrant.
Yeah, I like that about it.
Yeah, but the actual like construction looks okay, but the silhouettes, not my favorite.
Yeah, I think it's solid, though. Like, even if it's not your favorite, it's still, like, not like, horrible, you know? Absolutely. At least has a vision and well-constructed. So, and to say it's made out of unconventional materials, great for her.
Yeah, and the little bows were really cute. I like them.
Yes. Then we have Ahura, who comes out stunning in these huge, winged, like, elbow pieces. I just how?
Like, if this were in like earth tones, it would actually go in last week's runway and the prehistoric thing with like the dinosaur kind of, those with the...
It's giving me like the bearded dragons and things.
Yeah, exactly. God, I can't find any words.
But it's gorgeous. Like from the back, she looks like a present. And then she like turns around and pops those shoulders out. It's so good. Oh.
Another giftable moment.
Yes. So I love that. She has the blue mouth, which do we think that was like sister shade?
Oh, absolutely.
You think so? I think so too, where she was like, you copy me, bitch, I'll copy you and I'll win. And I'll show you.
Yeah. I'm sure when she decided on wearing blue, she was like, oh, I know what I can do. Ooh.
Well, and now she can say it's the closest she'll ever get to a win, sister. Then we have Dr. Isabella Blows-a-Lot. It's Bimini.
Is that a reference I don't get?
I don't think like so. I don't think so. I think she was just being cheeky. It's okay. It's not the best, but it's like she sells it. So I'll give her that.
Yeah, it looks like something you could find in a thrift shop and think, oh, this is a bit draggy. I'll get that. Yeah. And then you wear it and like, oh, yeah, it looks okay.
Yeah, I just think like the judges said she could have lost the paper and it would have been good. So then we get to Ellie Diamond and she's exuberant Ellie.
Yeah.
It's cute. It's giving me very much TDR.
Yes, absolutely. I could see someone do this. It's just not my favorite kind of drag aesthetic.
That's fair, but she is sugar spice and everything nice. She's very candy sweet. It's lots of props, lots of glued on pieces of candy, but it works overall. It's not horrible.
I feel like she could be like in the background of Wreck-It Ralph or something.
Yes, very that. So then
I haven't even seen Wreck-It Ralph.
Quiet as is kept, I haven't either, but I'm pretty sure I have it like downloaded on my Netflix or whatever to watch. So
I think we nailed the reference.
But totally, we nailed it. We nailed the reference. That's all that matters. Next we have Sister, who's wearing the entire Garden of Sheeden. What do you think?
Oh, like when I first saw this, I just thought, me and my boyfriend just cleaned up our balcony after the winter. And it was just not, you know, the fake grass on the floor, everything's blown over, plant pots, everything was just a mess. And she looks exactly like our balcony.
With the like dirt and everything.
Yes. It's like, oh, we need to clean her up.
Yeah, she's wearing like this tan brown one-legged pantsuit thing, and I didn't even notice that until they pointed it out because it's so hard to see what she's actually wearing. And then she's covered it with fake leaves that look like real leaves, fake leaves that look like fake leaves, flowers that look like flowers, fake flowers that don't look like flowers, and there's petals in her hair. There's everything going on. Everything.
I would wear her little green cape. I think that one was cute.
It was in the shape of a leaf. So yeah, it was cute. It was cute. But it's just too much going on. So Rue actually tells them, like, I challenged you to step it up and you did. And what I heard was, now that tea is gone, you all look beautiful. Like, it's basically what it was giving me. Okay. But they get to the critiques and they tell Taste that it's not enough, that they needed something more. And that's basically what you said.
Yeah. Would you do anything like a headpiece or something out of that as well?
Yeah, I think that could have like taken it to a fashion place if there was like a fascinator. I just think it needed a more refined silhouette. And I think that would have done everything for it.
Do you think like, what's that designer, you know, that makes those hats like Sasha Velour on her promo picture?
Yes.
That makes those, like something kind of that, but out of the Brillo pads.
Yes, exactly. That could have been good. But it didn't go all the way there, you know? It wasn't good enough stacked up to the rest of the people on the runway. Because that's the thing, is you're also competing with everyone next to you. So.
Yeah. If she had another week and another 500 Brillo pads.
Oh, yeah. It would have been great. So Michelle doesn't usually like leotards, but she likes Lawrence Chaney.
Yeah, she says this so often. I don't really listen to her anymore about it because it's such a drag staple and you can do so much with it. So I don't really agree with her.
Right.
Because you can embellish it in so many fun ways and it's a great dance costume. So.
And Lawrence really showed that. It's like, look, this leotard is decked out. I've got so many different parts to it. And that really, I mean, what she's saying is here's how you do it. Okay.
Yeah.
If you're going to do a bodysuit, absolutely, do it all the way.
Yeah.
So then we get to Ahura and they loved it. They said that she was giving them versatility. Just when you think you know who Ahura is, she gives you something else. And that's true.
Yes. I can't find anything I would change about Ahura's look.
It's gorgeous. So gorgeous. So Bimini's is just fabric and paper. The Westwood reference is coming through, though. And she says that her style references are Vivian Westwood and Pamela Anderson.
Go for it. Yeah.
I love that. That's definitely a perfect way to describe her aesthetic, and she embodies it so well.
If you would say that, what's your two, like, influences?
Beyonce and, oh gosh, I don't know. Who else? Who would you say are yours? What's one of yours? I'm trying to think of my second one.
Maybe like Florence and the Machine.
Ooh.
And Susan Boyle.
Susan Boyle! I love that. So yeah, mine would be probably Beyonce and, I don't know, I'm going to have to think about that. It's so hard to decide on just one because I'm like, there's many influence. I'll say like Marie Laveau for sure.
Yeah.
But yes, so they love Bimini, even though this was okay.
Yeah, yeah. It could have been more tailored,
yeah,
maybe. And
then the silhouette's not doing her stature any favor because she's teeny tiny. And it's, like, really big and drapey. So then we get to Ellie, the big doll of Dundee, as they put it, because she just looks like a big doll every time she's on the runway, says RuPaul.
Aw. Well, it is cute. But that's really the thing. You can't really say anything about it except, oh, it's cute.
Yeah, it's cute. It's nothing groundbreaking, but it's cute. And then we get to Sister. So Sister actually says that she toned down the look, that this is the edited version. What do you think?
Well, that makes it feel like she's in on the joke, at least. That makes it more fun. But her outfit really is like the Thor's brain of outfits.
Oh, it's so bad. It's just too much going on. Too many different mediums, you know? It's like, artists usually pick a medium. This is a mixed media project. It's too much. Graham Norton says that it looks like a children's entertainer if you hate your children. And I think that is so funny. It's so much. But, you know, they all laugh about it. And Sister is really, like, you know, jovial. But she also knows that she's going to be in the bottom.
Well, imagine a children's party in a garden and she's just there, like, facing away from you. You think she's just part of like the decoration, and then she turns around and like, wow,
no,
look at me.
No, no, no. I call the police. I call the priest. I call somebody. Okay.
She looks like a John Wayne Gacy painting or something.
She looks like something. So yeah. Then we get to Untucked, and Taste didn't think she would be in the bottom, and she's a little mad about it.
Well, yeah, I get that, because I think her outfit is cleaner than Bimini's.
If you can say that. I mean, they're both pretty, they're made out of garbage, y'all, like, it's, but I think if she looks to the left, looks to the right, and sees what everybody else did, it does seem a little simple, and sometimes simple is just not as effective, unless it's a refined material. You're using these scourers. It just wasn't happening. So
do you think they were affected by too many briefs? Like, it's one thing to create something out of unconventional material, and then you have to be a superhero, but you also have to theme it around COVID. So it's like too many layers when it could just be make a fabulous drag outfit out of nothing.
Yeah, I think so. But I also think that all of their outfits kind of stand alone and don't necessarily have to be superheroes. Because like they could have each, none of their looks say superhero to me.
True, true.
Like, sure, they could, but they could also stand alone as a runway. Like even Sisters could have been like in a garden-themed runway, then this would have been something that fit in. It doesn't necessarily give me, I'm a superhero. It just gives me nightmares.
Sailor Moon villain. Yeah.
So Sister thinks she'll be in the bottom, and Taste thinks she'll be in the bottom, and little do they know, they're correct. But in the middle of all of this, Ellie just wants to say that she's feeling great. She wants to address the fact that you and you said that I would be the next to go home. Do you still think that?
Oh, God, she's so confrontational.
It's so funny because she'll be confrontational and then she'll be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. Like, okay, Ellie, like, do you want to be that girl or do you not want to be that girl? So I just love that she said it, though, because she was like, I don't care if you're down right now. I need to know, do you think that I'm going home this week? Because I think I did pretty well. And Sister's like, I didn't think you did all that. And Ellie's like, yeah, I thought this look would be a little all over the place, but that's not what they said to me. That's what they said to you. Ooh, Ellie! I love it.
Oh, I love this show.
I love it so much. But Sister's like, I still love my look. I don't care what they say. I think I look gorgeous. I'm like, all right, the teeth really got to her.
What was in them teeth?
It's got to be the teeth because it ain't anything else. So then we get to wait, what were you gonna say?
No, but it was like we talked about on the viewing party, how the edit of Sister has switched so much from being the supportive best friend in the first half of the season. Like, oh, I'm best friends with Ginny Lemon, I'm best friends with Cherry Valentine, and now it's just everyone hates her.
Absolutely. Like, I don't know what happened other than she got new teeth. Like, it literally seems like a direct correlation. She went on a break, came back with new teeth, turned into a villain. Like, but I don't know. I love her, and I'm going to hate to see her in this bottom two. I'm lying. I'm excited to see her in this bottom two. So we get back to the runway, and the results are that Ellie is safe. Ahura wins the challenge. She's so happy to have won a design challenge. Taze is in the bottom two. Bimini is safe. And yes, Sister is in the bottom two. What do you think about these results?
Absolutely the correct winner. Absolutely Ahura should have won, and she did. If I'm not playing favorites, I think I would have put Bimini in the bottom, even though she's my favorite contestant. She's like on top 10 my favorite contestants ever in any franchise of this. But I think she could have been in the bottom two.
Yeah, I definitely could have seen it. And I think she could have also sent Sister home. So,
yes.
I think that, yes, Ahura should have won. Yes, I could have seen Bimini in the bottom. But I guess Ellie did do well. Lawrence did do well. So I'm okay with these results. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think the tastes was as good or as bad as it seemed. Like, I feel like the critiques could have made it seem a lot better than it was if they had just said nice things. So I could see Absolutely. The same way that they like made Bimini's, you know, look a little bit better than it was with the critique, that they could do the same for taste. So I'm with you. But either way, we get to a lip sync battle of Taste and Sister. Whose side are you on?
I'm side of sorry. I'm just on the side of the person who does the best in the lip sync.
Who do you think did the best? If you had $1, who would you give it to?
I would tip Taste.
Yeah, I would tip Taste too. I would probably be too afraid to get too close to whatever Sister was wearing. But I definitely would give Taste the dollar. They're doing a Jess Glynn song. Love Jess Glynn. They're saying don't be so hard on yourself, which is a cute message. But yeah, Taste does it for me.
I feel like if you were going to tip Sister, you could just take like a handful of pound coins and just throw it at her. And it would just like absorb into her outfit.
Oh my God, right? The part, like, sometimes I feel like you can tell when someone won the lip sync, and Taste won before it started, but like when she laid down on the Brillo pads, it was so beautiful. And I'm just like, wow, she really made this coarse material look so soft.
Speaking of so beautiful, have you seen her face?
Yeah, like she just commands the stage. And Sister, you have to actually like look for her face because there's so much going on. So yeah.
I know. She got that like petals that looks like a Neanderthal's like forehead.
Yes. So in the end, Tace sends sister home. Goodbye, sister.
Welcome home to Liverpool, sister.
Yeah, she says it was the stupidest experience of her life. And I thought that was funny.
But that's the thing. That's the kind of comments she's been making all season. But they decided that she was evil instead of funny in
the
edits.
Right, that's fair. So now that she's gone, we have to look forward to next week, where they're going to be doing a comedy challenge. Now, before we get into it, if you don't want to hear any speculation, if you don't want to hear any tea, you can fast forward. We are going to speculate. Okay, let's do it. So, yes. Comedy show, what do you think?
I think that Ellie Diamond can struggle.
Yeah, because as Lauren said, Ellie, you're not funny, so what are you going to do?
Obviously, Lawrence should do good, but it's always like the risk of doing something that you're supposed to be great at and then falling flat on your face.
Yeah.
Like she did in Snatch Game, to be fair.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm hopeful that the stand-up format could give her a little bit more structure. Because, you know, with the Snatch Game, there's no plan. But with stand-up, there's like a roadmap that you're following that you write for yourself. So she at least has control over that. And, you know, we can see if she'll come through the way that we all know that she could.
Yeah, because her strongest asset is her accent and her personality, and that's what she can really bring to a stand-up. Yes.
I'm not nervous for Bimini. I think that Bimini is just naturally funny.
Yes, like, if she could do that as Katie Price, what can she do as a whimsy vegan?
Right? I hope she makes herself, vegan jokes. Like, that would be so funny. Like, if she can joke about herself, you know, that's good. Ahura, I'm kind of worried.
Yes. I can't even think of what kind of, like, humor she would do, because it's mostly just like, oh, this face. Oh.
Right, this gorgeous face. Oh. Like, maybe she'll... Oh. Maybe she'll give us some May West.
I'm from London.
But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that all comes together with her. And the same for Tace, because I feel like both Ahura and Tace are, like, off and on funny. Like, the Essex girl is really funny. Tace can be really funny when she's, like, not trying. So, like, maybe it'll go in their favor. But I think they're definitely going to be the wild cards.
I think Tace is so funny in her confessionals and has... so much personality there. So if she brings that into the drag stand-up, she'll do great. Yes,
so we will see. But in the spirit of speculation, who is your top three?
Bimini.
Bimini! Bimini, yes. So I agree.
Top three, Bimini, Bon, and Boulash.
Oh my God, yes. She said, we don't need another top three. We just need the Bimini, Bon, Boulash. Okay, I'm here for it. Yeah. I also want Bimini to win. If not, I mean, if Tace pulls through, if Lawrence pulls through, I won't be mad. But that's my top three. And I want to see them, you know, take it all the way.
Yes. Now, I feel like it feels like it's going to be Bimini and Lawrence as the Vivian and the Divina DeCampo, and then Tace and Ahura can fight for being the bag of chips.
Right. So we already know who the top two is, basically.
Well, that's what it feels like, but stranger things have happened and favorites going home too soon.
Yeah, it could happen. This is around the time top five now that, you know, we start seeing some upsets. So I'm interested to see if they do it again. It's part of the formula.
Yeah. Imagine if Ellie Diamond wins the season.
Oh my God. If Ellie Diamond makes it to the top three, I will eat one of my wigs. Like, oh my gosh. I can't even.
Like a small taste of wig from this runway, or like a huge, massive?
Yes. Well, it depends on how you cook it, honestly.
double stack.
A nice baked double stacked wig. Ugh, so good. But I prefer mine steamed.
Ooh, yes. Steamed.
So anyway, thank you so much for being a part of the virtual viewing party and also being a part of the podcast. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you, darling.
Oh, you too. It was so much fun. Such a fun episode. Such a fun season.
Yes. And I look forward to seeing you maybe in the future. Maybe I'll be heading over to the UK and, you know, saying hi. Or maybe you can come over here. I don't know. But...
absolutely. And catch me on Drag Race UK season 8.
Yes, then you'll have a budget, then you can come over here.
Oh yes.
Book me. Yes, and follow the doll on social media, Antonina Nutshell on all platforms. Anything else you want to say to the people?
That's me.
Now, just thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting local drag, hashtag local drag podcast. And just keep on spreading the love.
Yes, I love that message. And,
yes, and show this episode to all the little queer kids that need to see Lauren Chaney tear up and talk about how she overcomes cane things.
Absolutely. That's the gay agenda. Well, thank you so much. I hope you have a great rest of your evening. While it is early here, it is late there. So I'm going to let you go and I'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Hugs and kisses from the UK, right, hon.
Bye.
All right, that's all for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it, and I can't wait to do it again next week. Anchor allows you to send in voice messages, so check out the link in the episode notes if you have any questions or comments for the show, and we just might respond to them on air. Until next time, keep it cute, keep it real, and don't let anyone steal your joy. I'm Laveau Contraire, and this has been Local Drag.